Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
a molecular tour of a plastic called Captain tape in general. So let's talk about two things. One is the use of the tape and why I'm doing molecular tour, and the benefit, possibly the third thing, is the benefit of you listening to it and whether you really want to listen to it or just look it up, Captain tape, and just get in your head straight away. So Captain is this material, wonder material. It's a plastic, and it's a plastic which can go up to 400 degrees C, really high temperature. It's an insulator, can go down to very low low temperature. It's got low thermal coefficient of expansion, so it's not going to just sort of head up and just pop off your gear or just stick with the gear. So it's sort of ideal in certain things, and it does stick to things. So you can put put it in a molding, it'll stay there, and it's got a lot of great things. And most people will recognize it as this sort of brownie translucent tape that you see wrapped around sort of bundles of wire or in the middle of transformers. It's just used everywhere, and it's sort of just a very familiar thing that, you've got a heater wire and you want to heat something up, you just put some tape over the heater wire and that's it, that's done. Nothing's going to burn, so you can have a ceramic heater wire on it, and you can tape it down. It's sort of this really wonderful material, sort of an age-old friend. And for me, let's get back to it. For me, having had the stroke and stuff like that, the words are sort of in the distance, the mist. And so when you see it again, it really, really goes down to it. Let's go back down to what I'm doing this for. Is the issue is to look at something, process it, remember it, recall it, and then in progression forget it, and then have another go at looking at it and come out and stuff like that. And so there's a sort of a two-level process of remembering, and then when you memorize molecules and formulas and stuff like that, you can't use the same sort of grunt, sort of just photographic memory book. You have to use a process, and and knowing that you're going to have to do a podcast on it, you say, oh, how am I going to remember that? Captain tape, who did it? DuPont Chemicals, you got all Yanks, produced it. And by mixing two really quite attractive molecules together. So it's a repeating polymer. A polymer is a molecule with two hooks on it, at least two hooks on it, and the hooks can generally press together with the emission of something else. So it may be an acetone, or I don't know, if you say the most typical, say the strong one, normally you get some water comes off it, or say in the case of silicon polymers, acetic acid comes off it. So if you lay silicon at the side of your bath, dag up your bath, silicon polymer, fantastic stuff. It's silicon I love. It'll smell of acetone. It's not acetone, acetic acid. It'll smell of vinegar, and it is actually vinegar coming off it. And you want, in general, in most, a lot of applications, you want, so you've got two things, and by ripping off water, ripping off acetic acid coming off, they've got no choice but to bond together. So it's sort of sort of like reverse, where you use acetic acid or something to dissolve something. It's a reverse of dissolving to plasticize it. So it's typically displayed as this long repeating chain, and they show a single link in the chain between two square brackets with an N indices to show that there's millions and millions of them. In general, you have a capstone molecule, which is one link, and so the more you put in these in, the shorter your links are, and the more liquid it is, or the less you have, it's the longer the links are, then you can get cross links, so your links don't slide from. Yeah, there's lots of things you can do. So we're looking at the general molecule here, and this molecule is put together. Is actually quite, for me, a very attractive molecule. So it comes in two parts, and the first part I like it because it's so simple and symmetric to come across. Now, amino acids, life molecules, you generally have a six-membered ring or a five-membered ring. And in that five-membered ring, less so in the six-membered rings, you can take out a carbon and put in a nitrogen. So a nitrogen is a carbon with an extra hydrogen on it. It's carbon 12, nitrogen 13. It's got 13 protons in it. So it's as if someone has got in your carbon chain the hydrogen sitting on the outside and actually pushed it in together, squeezed it in together, so the nitrogen is now a carbon with the hydrogen pushed into the nucleus. So it will fit in there, except it won't have the hydrogen. The bond is actually much smaller. And nitrogen is really interesting, as far as I'm concerned, because it doesn't want to react. It doesn't want to have electrons. It doesn't take on electrons. It's got an electron affinity of zero, whereas the most highest electron affinity is chlorine. That really wants to take an electron into its guts, its inner side. And I think looking at charge is really important. Then we've got to have a numbering convention, and the orientation of these can be, this is either, you've got basically pentagons or hexagons, and before we get going, the orientation of these can be with the pentagon you can have it the flat bit on the bottom and pointing up, or the flat bit on the right and pointing left, or the flat bit on the left pointing right. So you can imagine your pentagon can go those different orientations. In general, they're the orientations. And for that, I have a numbering thing, is that the pointy bit of your hexagon, your pentagon, is position number 1, 2. So, say if it's, in this case, we're going to have it the flat bit to the right, the pointy bit to the left, and the pointy bit of your pentagon is going to be 1, up the top 2, the flat bit on the right 3, 4, the bottom one number 5. That's the way to number across. Now for your hexagons, it's a little bit simpler. The flat bits of the hexagon can be at the top and bottom, the pointy bits on either side, the pointy vertex, and for that, the way that it's not necessarily the way, but the easiest way to describe in podcast language, is that if it's on the flat, I have the leftmost top one, number 1, So roughly at, say, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, or could be 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock as you go around the clock. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Or you can have it at 12 o'clock, especially 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or two more and 6, so that would be 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And so the 12 will be number 1, 2, 3. So on your flat hexagon, the just before midnight is your number 1. And then if it's rotated a bit, you're going to have number 1 at the top there. Now, I say this because there are pentagons, hexagons, pentagons, and hexagons, oxygen, and hexagon in the game. So go across it. You to start off with, you have a... So going through this, I'm going to sneeze going through here. And can I say, I absolutely enjoy sneezing. Before I had the valve thing, I thought I was just going to... It was going to blow me apart. I couldn't express it, but I hated it. I was terrified of sneezing. So as I feel a sneeze go along, I go, whoa, celebration. Okay, let's get this rolling. Now, for the general picture, certain molecules are really attractive. It starts off with a pentagon with the pointing left, the flat point pointing right, a hexagon. So a pentagon links on directly onto a hexagon. Hexagon with the apex at the top, the two flat bits on left and right. On the left, it goes to the right of your first hexagon. We're going from left to right, as you would read. The next one after that is another pentagon. And this pentagon, the apex is facing right. So it's a pentagon. Apex facing left, hexagon, apex at the top, pentagon, apex at the right. I'm going to give you a few. Oh, look, we may as well do it here. What you do is that you replace the apex carbons of the two pentagon of the two pentagons, right? With nitrogen. So, and then on the 1 and 4 of your first pentagon, you attach a double bonded oxygen. So, looking at it, and then the same thing goes to the other pentagon, the other side, the central hexagon of carbons is all there. Now, with that, you've got an independent carbon going from number 1, number 2 shared carbon, number 3 shared carbon, number 4 is an independent carbon. Is that right? Number 6. 5 and 6 are shared. The left is you come back up. So you've got a nitrogen, you've got your pentagon on the left with a nitrogen at the apex and oxygen above and below on those bonds. So that looks like a little man with two arms out, two oxygens out, and a little head is the nitrogen. Now that nitrogen can have, carbons can have three bonds, nitrogen can have, carbons can have four bonds. Nitrogen's three, so two bonds are in that pentagon. The next bond is across to make up the polymer. So they're sort of chain bonds. Which I'm feeling really uncomfortable. Here I've got something going through. I'm not sneezing, but it's feeling really uncomfortable. So that's our first unit. That's a nitrogen with two oxygens going off, a pentagon, hexagon with the apex at the top, another pentagon, and that's symmetric. It's got a nitrogen, two oxygens, so it's got four oxygens all in all. Now that links on, so that's our first half, the second half of this, and this, to remember, this captain is a hexagon with the apex at the left on number 6. 1, 2, 3. On 3 is a ester. So an ester is an in-chain oxygen. So oxygen has two bonds. So an oxygen can hold one thing and hold the oxygen and hold another. It can either have a double bond down to a carbon, or it can bond to one carbon and carbon. So it's a really beautiful thing, esters. And so you've got a hexagon with the apex left and right. The left apex hooks onto the nitrogen of your pentagon, hexagon, pentagon. I think it's called a purine, or so the purine is one version of it. because of the shape of nitrogen, pentagons are actually quite stable for it. So it goes pentagon, hexagon, pentagon, bound to a hexagon again with the flat at the top, apex left and right, bonded to an oxygen on number 3, and then that oxygen on number 3 bonds to number 6 of the next hexagon, which then bonds on to the next nitrogen of the next repeat of that hexagon. So pentagon, hexagon, hexagon again. Now if you look it up, it'll be worthwhile to describe it, but I suppose for me is to describe it and see if you can imagine it, for me doing it through, have a look at it and then go through it and see if you can look at it after thinking it and see if you can draw it out. And is there any benefit for doing it? The answer is possibly not, but it's worthwhile getting inside your brain and so you can see how different things go. It's sort of like Kevlar. Certain you can sort of imagine its properties or start to think about its properties. For me, it's just a really, why would this have a low thermal coefficient of expansion? Why would it be particularly resistant to polarization and voltage decay? These are things that I'll think about after I've memorized the structure. I'll see in a day or so time whether I can be just out of the blue write it down. I probably can't, and it'll just direct me. But so I'd advise that for you out of interest. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.